ओम ज्ञानति निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
What should we do? We should love Krishna. What shouldn't we do? We shouldn't be a rascal demon. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains to Arjuna what he should do. What should Arjuna do? He should surrender to Krishna and follow Krishna's instruction. Now sometimes, just to clarify the situation, make it very clear, we don't only show one side, but we show the opposite side also. A parent may tell the child that if you study nicely, then in future you can get a good job. But if you don't study, then you'll simply have to ride a rickshaw or something like this. What is considered not a good job, it requires no qualification. So there's the positive side given and the negative side given. Now, in the same way, we are attempting to preach Krishna consciousness according to Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita. And we are asking everyone to chant Hare Krishna and become a devotee of Krishna. And on the basis of Bhagavad Gita, we assure people that if you do so, you will be happy in this life, you will be freed from material existence, and you will enjoy eternal bliss in the service of Krishna in the spiritual world. And if you don't become Krishna conscious, then Sharadhana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapyamang Nivartante Mityu Sansara Vatmani. Then we simply, if we don't take up faith in Krishna consciousness, then we don't attain Krishna, and we simply have to go on in this material world. So on one side, on the positive side, there is love of Krishna. Love of Krishna is completely pure. There is no mundane lust, greed or anger in love of Krishna. But if we don't develop love of Krishna, then our desires will become material desires, which is mentioned here as, it's given the name karma. The Sanskrit name is karma. And karma is always accompanied by krodh, lobe, and other various demoniac qualities. This Krishna has already explained in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. How material desires develop. Dhyayato vishayam pumsa sangasteshu pajayate. That in the beginning there is a seed of desire for material enjoyment. And then someone starts to think about that. Whatever it may be an ice cream or a big house or a good job or a beautiful wife, whatever it may be. He thinks about that and then the mind becomes attached to that. Then sangat sanjayate kamaha. Then when one's desire for some material object becomes fixed, then that is known as kama or material desire. And kamat krodho vijayate. From desire comes anger, because either one is frustrated in his desire, and then he becomes angry, or one's desire is fulfilled and still one is not satisfied in heart, and therefore you also become dissatisfied. So krodh is a very general term. In Sanskrit and in English and in many languages, there are different levels of anger which are described in different terms. In Sanskrit there are various words, rosha, kopa. In English there we have words like fury, then dissatisfaction. So we can say krodh, the scope of krodh goes all the way from frustration to uncontrolled fury. So when the krodh become this blind anger, That is described as sammoha, krodhad bhavati sammoha, that one becomes illusioned by this anger. And sammohat smriti vibhramaha, then by this illusion one forgets everything that he's supposed to do. Smriti bhrangshad buddhina asho, one's intelligence becomes spoiled when he forgets his duty. And it's really buddhina asho, buddhina ashat pranashyati, then one's whole position is completely spoiled when the intelligence is spoiled. So we see this, particularly this uncontrolled anger is a very Very dangerous. Due to uncontrolled anger, someone can do something suddenly, maybe kill his child or kill his father, just because he forgets in anger, just forgets everything, and his intelligence is spoiled, and then his whole behavior is spoiled. So that's uncontrolled anger, but even you see just the tendency to be unnecessarily angry. Then one unnecessarily is harsh and cruel to others. These are demoniac qualities. When material desire becomes perverted, then one takes pleasure in giving pain to others. That, for instance, people who, they kill chickens to eat, but they take pleasure in killing and giving pain to the chicken. So a saintly person could never take pleasure in killing animals and giving pain to them. But a demoniac person takes pleasure in giving pain to other living beings. That one example may be very nastily killing the chicken in a very painful manner. Or another example is that someone who's in a position of authority over others takes pleasure in torturing them mentally. These are all symptoms of perverted desire and anger and nastiness within the heart. And this lobha is very similar to karma. That karma means that there may be some individual desires which are coming up all the time. But lobha, that means a desire for some, especially for a lot of money, possessions, all these different things. Standing desire. Ongoing desire. So these six bad qualities are very well known. Kam, Krodh, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. Moha, Mada, Matsarya. So Moha, that's understood in Tamil also. Mada, that's described as madness or a very deep illusion. And Matsarya, that means the envy, that's very similar to taking pleasure in giving pain to others. Just nastiness. Inability to appreciate others' good qualities and rather ascribing bad qualities to them. Wow. So all these six, they're all intricately interrelated. Here Krishna has emphasized three, karma, krodha and lobha. And Krishna warns that these are gates leading to hell. Gaur-Nitai are standing here so beautifully, so happily chanting and dancing. The Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu is completely free from these nasty qualities of material nature. But just the opposite is this karma, krodha, lobha. The Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely cleanses the soul and purifies it. But the materialistic propensity, which in the extremely demoniac form, that completely contaminates the consciousness. We see there is the ideal of the Sankirtan movement is completely opposite to that of the demoniac nature. So Krishna is warning, and we should take this warning very carefully, very seriously. Because this, in Kali Yuga, this kam, krodh and lobh are very prominent. And if we don't take to the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very seriously, then we're going to be victimized by karma, krodha and lobha. We see the whole modern society is promoting karma, krodha and lobha. And people think, well, this is something very nice. The young girls think it's very nice to dress in clothes which increases the karma of the young boys. And this whole culture of fighting, being strong and tough is promoting krodha, anger. And the whole ethos of modern society, get money, spend, be rich, show you're so big man. Be a big woman also, doesn't matter. Buy more and more things. This is increasing lobha. And we think, well, this is very nice. This is modern life. But Krishna says that this leads to hell. And practically we see that already. In the advertisements they promote, you see young boy and girl, they should be all wearing all these fashions and kissing in public, so many things. And it seems very nice. Yes, we should also enjoy like this. And places like Salem are not very progressive or modern. They're very, not very advanced. But if you go to Bangalore, which is a very modern city, which we just came from, you'll find the young men and women are very advanced. They'll walk together with their arms around each other. And they're very advanced and they're enjoying life. And it's wonderful. Not this silly, old-fashioned culture. They're just enjoying life, which we're meant to do. However, we find that usually these people are suffering tremendously. That the people who are, they show they're enjoying, but actually they suffer so much depression, and they become drug addicts, and so many things. People think, well, you know, that's just normal. It's modern life. Then they have to go to a psychiatrist, and it's just normal. And the people didn't used to go to psychiatrists, but you see, people in the past were backward. They were backward, not very advanced. You know, they believed in God and they controlled their senses, which is not very advanced. But now we're very advanced, and now we're suffering depression and hypertension, and we go to the psychiatrist, and we're more advanced. They're so, it's actually a totally insane society. They've created hell now. It's not the three gates leading to hell. They're already far advanced. They've already gone to hell right now. It's a fact, because if someone's consciousness is always full of lusty thoughts and angry thoughts, feeling anger towards others and always desiring so many things, actually it's hellish consciousness. A person whose heart is full of kam and krodh and lobe, then how can they have noble and divine thoughts? Simply every person they interact with, they'll simply want to use them, to exploit them in different ways. Now this is actually extremely serious. We should consider this very, very carefully. That the whole current of modern society is going to hell, hellish consciousness, right now. So when Krishna says that these are the three gates to hell, it's not that he's talking in some metaphorical language or talking about some mythical non-reality. We can factually see how people are, by their consciousness, they're in hell now. So it's quite natural to presume that they will, when they leave this body, they will go to a hellish condition, suitable for, according to their consciousness. So be careful. We may think that, well, why don't we be more loose and free and mix up boys and girls, we can be happy, we'll enjoy. But young girls should dress up with in such a way that all their body is very clearly seen. And all these rules, you see, you shouldn't run around with other people's wives, that's all old-fashioned, never mind. We won't bother following these rules. And then you watch some dirty movie, which is means any movie, means they're all dirty movies. And then you see, you feel some lusty desire very much. And then you see, then you can go to the prostitutes. Every city there's some prostitute quarters. I don't know, but it must be, yeah? Every city must be. But then you'll go to hell. You will suffer hellishly now from various nasty diseases. And also men who go to prostitutes, they feel, actually they feel very bad because you see, my wife, they feel guilty that I didn't behave properly. So we may wonder, why are we discussing these things in the temple? In the temple we should just speak about love and peace and being good and being nice and all these things. But if we simply discuss these things in a very vague way, that won't help us very much. Krishna is speaking about, he's warning us very seriously. So what is he talking about? Lust, greed, anger lead to hell? So we could study the Sanskrit roots of all these different words. So that's one way of lecturing on Bhagavad Gita, and it's bona fide, of course. But what does it mean in our practical life? Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Arjuna, he, of course, he understands Sanskrit, but he's not a Sanskrit scholar per se. He didn't go on to discuss Bhagavad Gita, to discuss some various Sanskrit roots and conjugations, grammar. But to get some practical spiritual knowledge that he could apply in his practical life. Arjuna had to decide, you want to fight or not fight? It wasn't a question of, well, that's very interesting, Krishna, then what about, how do we decline this verb and that verb and is it make a sandhi and what do you mean and all this. So that may be there. The scholars, they can study Bhagavad Gita in this way. And, of course, in Krishna's words, they're so wonderful, there's so many ways they can be analyzed and understood. But that isn't the very basis of Bhagavad Gita. The basis of Bhagavad Gita is some practical spiritual direction. And the Bhagavad Gita is relevant to us today because it is practical spiritual knowledge that we have to apply in our day-to-day lives. You see, there are some people, they read a chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. They read the Sanskrit verses. So that's nice, that's a pious activity. But if you don't know what it means or how it practically applies in your life, then you don't really get much benefit from it. If you just read it as a ritual, but you don't know what it means or how to apply it in your life, then actually what's the point of reading it? It's simply you get some pious result, that's all. But we should try to understand the real spirit of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was a very serious person. And Krishna spoke to him in a very serious way. Krishna is giving a very serious instruction that if you're simply acting according to lust, greed and anger, then you're going to go to hell. So the same thing is true today. It's not only for Arjuna. That if you or I act according to lust, greed or anger, then we are going to go to hell. This is a very serious instruction when we consider that the whole atmosphere is simply full of lust, greed and anger. So we may think, well, it's inappropriate to talk about all these things, how people go to prostitutes and so on. We shouldn't say these things in the temple. But this is reality. This is what is going on in Salem tonight. That because people are not able to control their senses, they're overcome by lust, greed and anger, and therefore they are indulging in hellishly sinful activities. So it may not be you, or it may be that we have indulged in, it may be among us there are people who have indulged in such hellishly sinful activities. Or if we don't take this instruction very seriously, we can become victimized by Maya and fall into such a situation. And anyone can become victimized by Maya and fall into hellishly sinful life. We find even people from very highly cultured Brahmana families who they fall into all the grossly sinful activities. In fact, there's one person from a very prominent Brahminical background who happens to hold a very senior political position in this state who, was known for having sex outside of marriage. And nowadays, Brahmins eat eggs anyway, mostly. So this, the whole society is falling down, step by step. So we should discuss these things so we can be saved from such fall down. If we simply go to some religious lecture and they say, be good, be nice, smile, don't do wrong thing, all very vague, it's useless. Useless. We should analyze what Krishna is saying. Krishna is warning us very seriously. And it's very difficult in the modern age to be free from lust, greed and anger because the whole atmosphere is full of lust, greed and anger. And the whole educational system is simply increasing our lust, greed and anger. The television, the newspaper, everything. So we can only save ourselves from this hellish degradation by taking to Krishna consciousness. We have to take to Krishna consciousness very seriously. Otherwise, we have to suffer hellish life, now and in future. We can see our devotees, they're going door to door, office to office, distributing books. Yeah. Everyone is suffering. In every family, in every house, there's so much discontent, frustration. Every house, no one is happy. Because everyone is simply full of lust, greed and anger. So we should take to Krishna consciousness very seriously. Chant Hare Krishna. Come to the transcendental platform beyond the modes of material nature. And in this way, we can be freed from the influence of the modern demoniac life. Take shelter in Krishna's lotus feet and be truly happy on that platform. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any question about this? Give the mic to him.
Maharaj, kamam is the word. Is it denotes only the sex desire or any other material desire?
Yeah, okay. Alright, say it in Tamil also. You can say it directly. The Sanskrit word kam, which also comes in Tamil, I don't know in Tamil, but in Sanskrit it means both. It's used as a general term for all kinds of material desire. And it's specifically used for sexual desire, which is the most intense of all material desires. In Tamil also, like that?
Mm-hmm.
Kama, kamana, iccha, spriha, abhilash. These are all different
abhilash
words. These are all different. These are all different words in Sanskrit. Kama, kamana, iccha, spriha. That comes in Tamil?
No.
It's a Sanskrit word. Abhilash. So these are all different words. Vancha. So these are all different words for desire. Asha. Yes, it's a little bit different. Lalasa. These are all different words. They're all different. They're slightly different. Then, any other question? Well, if there are no...
You were saying the shloka from second chapter, from the ayat of Hashem.
Mm.
Usually we say problem is karma, but stage before this, when desire comes, how to... that we don't grasp seriously and that we don't hold this attachment then which develops into karma. What in that stage, how to prevent?
There are various stages of material desire. When a desire becomes prominently manifested within the consciousness, that is called karma. But it has its a specific desire, which is called karma, comes from the reservoir of general material desire, which is called vasana. The general tendency to want to enjoy material life is, there's a stockpile or a reservoir of such general desire within the consciousness which is called vasana. And that manifests as particular desires according to various sanskars which are within the consciousness. So a sanskar means an impression within the consciousness, which is embedded. It may be very deep. And that arises due to interaction with the sense objects, in previous lives or within this life. So it's a very complex and long-standing, syndrome. So generally there are considered three stages of, desire. When it starts to become manifested, when a desire becomes manifest, there are three stages, which Prabhupada termed thinking, feeling, and willing, which corresponds to this description in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter. First of all, a thought comes within the mind. That means that from the reservoir of vasanas, just like a bubble comes up from the bottom of a lake, so it comes up and becomes manifested as a thought within the mind. That is called thinking. Prabhupada called that thinking. Then feeling. Thinking, feeling, and will. The next stage, feeling. You start to think about it. What about that? You start to meditate. Dhyayato vishayanto. Start to meditate on that. And then willing. Yes, I must enjoy. Then you make some plan to enjoy. Just like Ajamil, he was a pure Brahmin. But he saw a lascivious, lusty man with a lusty woman enjoying sexually, openly. He saw a kamuka enjoying with a kamini. A lusty man enjoying with a lusty woman. And that, seeing that brought out the dormant lust which was within his heart. And he wanted to, he started thinking about that more and more. And he wanted to stop, but he just felt overpowered by that thought. And eventually, against his own intelligent discrimination, he decided, yes, I must enjoy. So then again we have in Gita this Indriyani Paranyaho Indriyabhya Paranmanaha Manasastupara Buddhya Yobidhaya Haritastu Saha. The senses, and then above the senses is the mind, and above the mind is the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the soul. So if by understanding spiritual knowledge we can't bring the intelligence in control and have the intelligence control the mind and then the mind control the senses, then we're in trouble. So actually, when these thoughts come in the mind, we should immediately stop. Don't start meditating on them. Then you're in trouble. Do they do that in this country, these Christian preachers? They come to your door, then if you just start talking to them and they put one foot in the door, then they come inside, then you're in trouble. Do they do like that in this country?
I don't know.
Not here. But there are some kind of preachers in the Western countries that, out of politeness, you may just allow them to come inside, but when they come inside, it's very difficult to get rid of them. They won't go away unless they baptize you. So it may seem rather rude just to close the door in there. But if you don't, out of politeness, if you allow them in, then they'll eat your head. They'll harass you ad infinitum. So in the same way, this thought may come in the head, and you just immediately, you get one big pair of boots and give it a big kick and kick it onto the other side of the universe. Or another way you can do is you just ignore it. The thought will come and you just allow, just don't give it any importance. Just let it dissolve. Sometimes better than fighting with it is just to ignore it. It's just like sometimes some bad spirit may attack you. You ever had this experience? So you can try fighting it with your mind, or you can just ignore it. And they don't know what to do, and they just go away. No time for you. I have to chant Hare Krishna. So it's definitely a very big subject, how to control the mind. Uddhare dātmana ātmānam nātmānam avasādayat ātmāno hi ātmano. What is that? Ātmāiva hi ātmano bandhur ātmāiva ripur ātmanaha. One who can control the mind. For he who can control the mind is his very best friend. And for one who cannot control the mind is his very worst enemy. So when all the different bad thoughts come in the mind, then chant Hare Krishna very loudly. Another thing is to cultivate positive thoughts. That means cultivate thinking how I can serve Krishna more nicely, how I can serve the Vaishnavas better. We can, instead of filling the mind with rubbish thoughts, we can learn Bhagavad Gita shlokas like this. Cool. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we'll finish there.